They're back! Oh my god! It's the Radio Today Pod! We made this jingle with Sue, no, but we'd rather have some human sings from a jingle company that you know. We need a sponsor too, to pay for Roy and Stu. Got some good stuff for you to hear, brought to you this week from Latvia. Welcome back to you, our biggest fan. It's the Radio Today program.
Oh, hey. What was that?
That was AI.
We're real. We're real. That's crazy. What are we doing?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
And who are you?
My name is Stuart Clarkson.
Hello, Stuart Clarkson.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Roy Martin. And this, for the very first time this year, and this decade? No, we've been gone for about 6 years. This is the Radio Today program, and surprise, surprise, we've been at Radio Days in Latvia. We're still here, and everybody we've met has said, "We really like the Radio Today program. Why don't you do it again?" To which we said,
"No,
absolutely not." But the more people we spoke to, including
Matt Lomax.
Matt Lomax. Matt,
this episode is dedicated to Matt Lomax, and he's the one who got us drunk and made it happen.
And Ricky Lee, who's been badgering us for pretty much 5 years, saying, "Oh, I really love that show." And he sounds nothing like
is he
that.
From Blackburn?
Yeah,
is
he's
it?
From Blackburn as well. But yeah, so we thought after, well, we thought long and hard, and we've been here a few times before, haven't we, over the last 5-6 years?
What, Latvia?
No. In the position of maybe we should redo it. But we both thought, yeah.
This is the biggest comeback since Chris Evans on UK Radio Aid.
Yes, and Chris Miles going to Radio X after being lost in America for 2 years or whatever it was.
Yeah, it really isn't. So, yeah, we'll give it a go. It's not going to drop into your feed all the time. It might just be a surprise like today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do it on kind of... When there's something to talk about, we will do it. And because we're sat here waiting for the sessions to start, people are going to walk past.
Yeah, and they're going to find out the news before everybody else finds out.
So just to my left here is At Matt. Good morning, At Matt.
Hello, Roy. Stuart, how you doing?
Would you like tomorrow's big breaking radio
news?
Yeah,
tell me.
So we're kind of recording a podcast. You probably work that out.
Is that the breaking God, news?
God, he looks whelmed.
Yeah. Oh, that is the breaking news. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's lovely to welcome you back to the podosphere. You've been sorely missed.
There is quite a good one, but it focuses on like telly and other bits of media, and we need a bit more radio,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. If any listeners, of course, want TV, journalism, and a bit of audio, they can listen to the Media Club. Available wherever you're listening to this.
You sound rougher than I do this morning, Matt. Did you have a good night?
Well, I've got a podcast to record on Thursday. Hopefully it'll be fixed by then.
Will we be fighting for guests then? Is this a new rivalry?
It could be. We should start a podcast beef, and maybe it'll drive listeners for both of us.
Yeah,
I'm up for beef.
Right, I've got to go and see James Cridland, otherwise he'll shout at me for not seeing his
Thank
session.
You being our first guest on the new Radio Today programme.
Congratulations, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Another great podcaster, James Cridland. Maybe he'll be walking past in a minute.
You never know. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up, but we're going to bring you on this episode some of the guests we've been talking to in Riga. You might have seen some of them on our Insta stories and our Facebook over the last few days anyway, but yeah, promise you no more AI jingles in this episode.
I don't know. In this episode, we could start every single one with a brand new song, new cheesy song.
Yeah, no, I really know that.
Oh no, who's this now? Oh, it's my brother from another mother.
I know that the jingle people won't like us if we do that. Talking of jingle people,
hello, how are you guys?
We're just recording a new edition of the Radio Today program.
Well, that's a marvelous thing, and I will enjoy listening to it.
That's the BBC World Service's Steve Martin there.
It's been 5 years, so we're back, baby. Thank you, Steve. We just sit here. This is the new format.
Should we just come here every week?
Yeah.
And wait for people to walk past?
Go where the
radio
saves
having
are.
A producer booking guest, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's, who's that? Oh, we can't, no, can't tell you about that.
Oh.
So let's do this and have a new jingle every week and or whenever we do a podcast.
No, I think the jingle companies will stop advertising with you if we put AI jingles in every week.
This is probably true.
Really, it's not a good idea.
But yeah, here we go. Let's see who you've been talking to.
We're at Radio Days 2026 here in Riga. Matt Wilkinson from Heart Afternoons has just been doing a session all about making radio flow better. And you got rounds of applause for playing Segs. How good was that?
Oh, it's the absolute dream, isn't it? I mean, I could listen and play Segways non-stop. I'd happily potentially do a session on it another time just talking about Segways. But yeah, I think it's the sort of geekiness. It speaks to the geek in us all, doesn't it, about radio when we hear those transitions between songs.
And people who've seen your TikToks and your Instagrams will know how much detail you're putting into crafting those segues and the links as well. Was that something you've been doing for a long time and you've just started showcasing it, or is it a fairly new thing for your show?
I don't know really. I think actually it's the kind of thing I've been doing for a long time. I started out in radio in kind of smaller stations and sort of worked my way up, and I think I've always been used to sort of being on my own and having to do stuff by myself. So if I wanted two songs to go nicely together, I sort of just got into doing it. And you know, there's some other great content providers online like Tim Lee in Australia, and see some of the stuff he does, and that then makes you think, well, I could probably do something like that. So then, yeah, just sort of piecing together bits. I guess in a way I've always done it, but I only recently filmed it, mainly because everyone was on TikTok and I was like, I don't see the point. And now I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll film something that I do. It was someone I work with. Anna said, the best thing about you is what you do on the radio. So I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to be famous for anything else, so I'll just start showing what I do behind the scenes.
And you were kind of showcasing how you put links together, how you plan out your links, and you made the point of saying that actually most of your links are no more than 45 seconds, yet what you're packing into there is something quite special and unique.
Yeah. I think there shouldn't really be a limit to how long you do a link for. It can be as long as you want, as long as they're interesting, as long as they're engaging, it's fine. I personally don't feel the need to talk generally for longer than about 45 seconds. I feel like you can summarize a story and get to a kicker or a punchline about it in 20 to 30 seconds usually. You know, they often say one thought, one link. I'm more of a no more than two thoughts kind of thing. You know, you back an ounce and maybe do a quick tease, and then you get into the real muscle of your link, and that's it. But yeah, I think you can tell a lot of stories in a very short space of time if you get rid of all the fluff. A lot of when you're telling a story in a pub or whatever, you sometimes put a bit of extra things in there for an extra laugh here, an extra laugh there. But actually, if you just want to tell a quick story, you don't actually need that long to get to the point.
And if you've got a tip or two for presenters who are watching this, who are working, doing shows on their own, what's your kind of tips for making their show flow and sound better?
Yeah, practice a lot. Don't worry about making mistakes. You know, it happens to the best of us. Obviously, you learn from your mistakes. I like to challenge myself. There was a point a few years ago where if I wanted to do a certain kind of link, which maybe had a punchline at the end, and I had to time it right, I'd think I have to pre-record it and then play it out, because that way it would definitely work. And that's fine, but then you never get better at doing it. So then I challenge myself, right, I'm not going to record it now. I'm now going to do it live. I'm going to try and hit the end of this ramp with the thing I want to finish on. And you don't get it all the time straight away, but eventually you get into the rhythm of it and you know how to do it. And then that's the challenge, the fun part of being on your own in a booth for 3 hours a day is, you know, you're just amusing yourself at the end of the day, aren't you?
And just finally, you talked a bit in your session about the production, whether that's real world and the imaging they produce or your in-house creative teams. Yeah, how important is that for a show like yours?
Oh, it's massive. You know, as a presenter, you've got tools in your armory of things you want to use. One of my favorite things about working at Global is the talent of the people that you're surrounded by. Everyone is at the top of their game. You've got Matt Lomax, who's just over there, and he's a fantastic sound designer, and he makes amazing stuff that you can use. And then, like I say, real world guys, they're the guys making the imaging, the ramps, the beds and stuff like that, and that sounds fantastic, and it makes your job so much easier when you can call upon tools and you know they're going to be brilliant, or you can call upon a producer. My producer, Alex Hughes, I can give him a call, I can buzz him at a moment's notice and ask for something, and he's got it done even before I've needed it again, you know. So it's about working with a great team of people, and just riffing off each other, basically.
Great to see you. Thanks for talking to Radio today.
Thank you. And thank you to you. Can I say, I'm a massive fan of Radio Today. I watch it. No, what? I watch it all the time. And you, Roy. What you do is great. And radio is a community of people. And we all work for different companies. But at the end of the day, we all love doing it, right? And so it's people like you and you that bring it all together and make us all feel like one big team. So thank you.
Alan Hayden-Jones is here, he's the head of Radio 1, and we've got to start by talking about Greg James. What an 8 days it's been, and the money keeps going up.
It really does. Greg's did phenomenally well. Yeah. I was watching the live stream, and every hill he came to, I was like, I'm out, I couldn't have done that. And then he continued for 1,000 kilometres. It was phenomenal. And then this morning, I was listening in with my AirPods in. I was listening in, and we got to £4.5 million raised this morning, which is phenomenal. Comic Relief have never had that kind of money to a challenge. We're really, really, really proud of him.
And in terms of the on-air content, I mean, it's been really powerful just because of what it is and what it's about. But the situation Greg's been in with his own dad and opening up about that, that's been really powerful radio over the last week or so.
Yeah, it's never requested of our presenters to open up like that. So the fact that the family of presenters around Greg care for him that much, that they feel safe to be able to share such personal experiences on air, and connecting with the audience means the world, because it means that they feel safe to do that. So it's never asked of them, but when they do, you really feel the audience react to that level of honesty from Greg and all of them.
And of course, one of the wow moments was when Prince William turned up. You know, give us an insight behind the scenes into how that happened.
That was incredible. So few of us knew about it, for obvious reasons. There was something like three of us, me and Paul, who is a legend. He's the guy that runs the company behind the scenes that puts on the challenges for Comic Relief and Children in Need. And I kind of called him up, and there's very few people who would hear that Prince William wants to take part as a negative, but he was like, I'm sorry, what? Health and safety, and you're giving me Prince William? But no, they were phenomenal to work with, Kensington Palace, and Prince William genuinely came forward. Like, we were hoping for a video message to support Greg, because there's a good relationship there with the suicide prevention show that they did together recently. But they said, we can do one better than that, we'd like to go on the tandem. And from that point on, the whirlwind began, and it was incredible. And when Greg says on air he didn't know it was going to happen, it's true. They turned off in an unscheduled stop, and Prince William was stood there in a truck stop just waiting for the convoy. It was as surreal as it sounds.
Amazing, amazing. And so much going on at Radio 1. You've launched new radio stations in the last year. You've got more figures coming out. You've got your big weekend in Sunderland coming up too.
Yeah, it's always busy at Radio 1. I will sleep when I retire, I think. Radio 1 Dance, Radio 1 Anthems launched in September and have been so good. We have our first Ray Jar in May for those, which is a nervous time for all of us. And Radio 1's Big Weekend was announced in Sunderland at the end of last year. We've just done our lineup, a phenomenal lineup. The Radio 1 music team did a really good job. It's never easy when so many artists make money from their own tours or other festivals that they can pay, and we don't pay for artists on Radio 1. So the fact that so many artists are willing to give us 3 days of great lineups in a city like Sunderland is amazing, and is a testament to the music industry and the support they feel from Radio 1.
We're talking a lot at Radio Days this week about the future and the evolution of radio. You're at the forefront of that with your young audiences. What do you think you're doing to try and keep that young audience listening to radio?
Again, never easy. but we feel the support from the BBC about going to where the audience are, rather than asking them to meet us where we are, which you can understand why media organisations would like that. You can see it all around the world. But actually, the relationship that the BBC has forged with YouTube, Radio 1's been on YouTube for 15 years or so, since I worked with Moyles. So the fact that the BBC now supports that and is investing in what content sits on our platforms, which elements of our content can be used on third-party platforms, is a game changer for us, because it means we can now reach a greater number of young audiences wherever they are.
Andy Ashton from Greatest Hits Radio, the network director of content, has just been doing a session. You highlighted it's been 7 years. It doesn't seem that long, but how do you think Greatest Hits Radio has evolved as a brand and a station in that 7 years that you've been on the air?
Yeah, it's been like an incredible journey, and I talked in the presentation about sort of
you know, moments along the way. Obviously, lockdown happened, you know, just about 14 months after we launched, and that was a huge thing for radio in general, but definitely for Greatest Hits Radio, a challenge but an opportunity, you know. And then coming out of that time, obviously during that time, we did a lot of acquisition. We flipped a lot of formats around the country into Greatest Hits Radio, which gave us scale in terms of distribution. And you know, that was a very difficult process. But coming out of the back of that, you know, obviously to have that scale and to have this unique format in the UK, we've been able to build and build and build on that. And where we are today is a really great place to be.
And how has it changed musically, you know, in terms of the songs you're playing, the number of songs you're playing, what you're playing? Has that changed
in
that time?
Yeah, I think we've got more and more confident over time. You know, and I think what we found in the feedback from the audience is they're so hungry for this music. And obviously every radio station has a bedrock of the biggest testing songs. But what we've done over time is introduce more and more and more of that guilty pleasure, of that surprise and delight, because that's what we get the big reaction for. And I don't think there's any moment better in music radio than when you really touch a listener in terms of playing that record that they might not have heard for a decade or more, and suddenly it comes on and they're like, oh my God, you know, I love this record, I haven't heard it for so long. I don't think you can do any better than that. So coming up with, well, expanding the music repertoire in general, but also coming up with lots and lots of little devices that give you the opportunity to throw up those incredible songs that you don't hear that often, whether it's Buried Treasure or Simon Mayo's Big 45. You know, it gives the presenters the opportunity, but it also gives us the opportunity to surprise and delight, which is what we love to do.
We've got to talk about talent. How big a part of Greatest Hits Radio has those big name blockbuster signings, whether it's Kate Thornton, Jackie Bramble, Simon Mayo, Ken Bruce?
Yeah.
How has that impacted how you've managed to grow the station? Because it's marketing that you can't buy, really, isn't
it? It's huge. And I think it was Simon Mayer's Drive Time 5th anniversary the other Monday. And I went in with the team before the show and I just said a big thank you to them, and particularly to Simon, because Simon was one of the first who really recognised the potential of Greatest Hits Radio. And him coming and joining was a big moment for us. Certainly increased our awareness and numbers in a really big way, but it also really put us on the map and gave other great talent the confidence to go, do you know what, actually, I get this now. And so, you know, that led to Jackie joining. You know, obviously Ken was the big moment, and yeah, that huge balloon of awareness that bore in terms of the way we executed that. And, you know, grabbing him from the BBC and the news at 10 that night and all of that. But actually, and again, I mentioned this today, it's not by chance we've got these presenters. We you know, we're very fortunate that they are incredible broadcasters, but they're incredible music broadcasters. And we are all about the music. And so these guys are able to contextualise those songs and, you know, present them with authenticity and make them sound as special now as they were the first time you heard them.
Yeah.
And that's the secret sauce, I think.
And so, a lot of the stations and licenses that make up Greatest Hits Radio obviously were, you know, town and city stations, yeah, all over the country. They're still doing some local content as part of, yeah, the network shows. Have you any thoughts on what Ofcom's announcement on local news provision might mean for Greatest Hits and what you have to do or change anything?
Not really. To be honest, that's not my area specifically. Okay. Yeah. And I will, you know, I'll always let the guys who look at that stuff in detail, you know, come to me and advise me on what our part of that is. But yeah, I think it's always been really important for Greatest Hits Radio, but also Bauer and the Hits network as a whole, to you know, to be delivering as much as we possibly can at a local level, certainly in terms of news and other services. And I think that, you know, it will be, you know, I think that's something that people, well, I know, because we get the interaction, you know, from the audience with regard to that. And so, but Greatest Hits Radio, from where we all come together, is the music. And from that point of view, we're very much a national product.
Yeah.
And so that's really where my expertise is and where, you know, I spend the majority of my time. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens and react accordingly.
And well done, I'm sure, on your award at the ARIAs last year as well.
Oh, thank you. That really was a surprise, and a nice surprise. But yeah, I was gobsmacked. But yeah, it was lovely. And And yeah, it's this, we're on this incredible journey with Greatest Hits. There's so much more to come, you know. And I'm just looking forward to where we go next. I think we talked about young audiences finding, discovering, and you know, we're building some pretty big numbers in some pretty surprising demographics with Greatest Hits. And that all leads you on to where can we take this, you know, because there's so much fascination with younger audiences and these classic decades. And sort of being a voice of authenticity within that is really interesting.
We're going to hear now about WSQK from Global, the pop-up station, tying into Stranger Things. Heidi Donald is here from Global and Matt Lomax as well. Tell us where this came from and how it all came about in the first place, Heidi.
Well, it all started off because Netflix wanted to promote Stranger Things 5 and they wanted us to create something that would be a legacy for the fans. That was a brief to the market. And obviously when we found out that there was a radio station in it, we just knew we had to make it happen. And the rest is history, really. I tied all of these guys in, and obviously we knew sound design was going to be the most important thing to this, and going back and being inspired by all the 80s nostalgia from the show. The concept was, if you close your eyes, you're in 1980s Hawkins, which is where it's set. So the sound design and the music was all based on old 80s radio stations. And Matt, you had so much fun making the jingles.
Yeah, I mean, literally probably one of the most exciting projects I've ever had to work in 30 years of radio. Just an incredible set of people to work with. From Heidi's leadership was incredible, and there's a team in Birmingham. I'm going to shout out Giles Tanner, Tom Brammer. Yeah. Yeah, names rhyme, I've only just realised. Tom Holmes, John Wyers up there, Charlotte up there, Kenny. Great set of people up there. And we're going to shout out Richard Boffin, who, absolute genius sound designer with amazing ears, who really inspired a lot of the project in terms of an amazing demo that he created, which really wowed the client. As Heidi says, just incredible rollout of music.
And this thing and just kind of really brilliant. Blew up, didn't it, in terms of the audiences that you've reached with this pop-up station?
I can tell you it was our most successful pop-up that we've ever had. And it was kind of unbelievable, from a standing start of no one knowing about it to the size it became in week two. And the fan frenzy, we've never seen anything like it. Like, we've had the heart audience to play with in the past, and they're so engaged, and we so love that. But if you start having the Stranger Things fandom worldwide, this thing just travelled. We had people in America and Australia creating TikToks. There were 12-page Google documents where they were like recording every song that we were playing in the order, just in case that was a special clue to what was happening in the show. It was insane, and numbers like we've never seen in that sort of amount of time. We know it was kind of a moment in time and something that we'll probably never get back, because it was 10 years of Stranger Things. It was a perfect moment in a perfect time and the perfect team. Yeah. And I have to mention Nigel Steele as well.
Nigel, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Nigel. Yeah, he was amazing as well.
And
yeah.
Obviously, in terms of Global and pop-up stations, you did the Taylor Swift one and the Oasis one and that kind of thing. So how does the success of this help you in terms of what you might do next and how you engage with clients to do that?
There's lots of learnings for us. I think specifically around fandoms, the real success here was that time in between with the fans, and that's the best time we know to do it. I think that's probably one of our biggest learnings.
And also, this is really interesting. There's a lot of chat about Gen Z, Gen A's, really young listeners, like what we're going to do in the future. We had a girl crying on TikTok when this radio station stopped. That's a Gen Z person. We read a lot about no one's engaging in it. They were engaging with it a lot all across the world. I mean, no one's ever... I don't know anyone who's cried when a radio station stopped before. Maybe me personally.
Probably a few.
Maybe a few. But, you know, what better feedback can you have than that? You know, it was really well-loved worldwide.
We've got Jack Saunders and producer Daisy Jarrett from Radio 1's new music show. You've been doing this together a couple of years, but you've known each other quite a long time now. Mm-hmm. How's the show working out for you? Are you enjoying it both?
Love it. The show is a dream job. Like, genuine full circle moment. Me and Jack met at uni. And we did student radio together there. And then how many years later? 13, 12, something like that. A few years later, we've ended up doing like the dream show for both of us, which is amazing.
And you've been talking today here about the show and what you do, and predominantly it's about breaking new music. And that's the thing Radio 1 is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, Radio 1's not Radio 1 without the ability to do that, really. I think Alid put a stat up on the screen. What was it? 1,200, Alid, was it? 1,200 individual songs in 12 months that Radio 1 plays. It just eclipses anything else out there. And it's an integral part to the ecosystem of music, really. You know, without Radio 1 putting all the support and weight behind new music, a lot of the artists that have now broken, from your Olivia Deans to Sam Fenders and those kind of recent artists, Lola Youngs, for example, they wouldn't be where they are without the support, the early support of Radio 1.
And Daisy, you talked about the show and how it's put together, and it's about a mood and creating an experience for the listener at that time of night, isn't it?
Yeah, so I guess we program the music in a different way, which is that we don't program it. Well, the first half hour we kind of do, we keep it nice and warm there, but then after Hottest Record, we essentially get a pool of music for Jack to choose from. We'll do a big bit of listening, we'll decide that we want to support it, and then essentially we add it to a big pool of music that we have, and Jack sort of treats it as a DJ set, and we kind of, match the mood of the audience, take them on a journey with the music.
And there's nowhere else in radio really that he's doing this, because it isn't something commercial radio does. There's obviously BBC Introducing, which presumably feeds into what you guys do as well, but this is unique for UK radio.
Well, I think I said it on stage, but come 6 o'clock at night, the audience has been listening to the same music for 8-10 hours the whole day. What better way to grab an audience's attention than to completely flip the whole thing on its head, come out all guns blazing, leaving it all out there, full on energy, and treating the music like a DJ set in the way, you know? And I think it's worked wonders so far.
And something new you've started at the start of this year is the TikTok live streaming. Mm-hmm. So you're live streaming the show every night on TikTok.
Yep.
Why are you doing that, and how does that actually work?
We're doing that because a lot of our audience, the young audience that we want to connect with, are scrolling their phones at that time of the evening. So why not bring the show to them, allow them to access it in a different way, and connect with a massive opportunity audience that's there for us to try and convert into fans of the show.
Even at this point, we've been doing it for like 3 weeks, almost a month now, and already there's 20,000 people that are seeing this every single night. You know, it's not like a game-changing amount at the moment, but at this very early stage, there's a huge audience there already. So it already looks so promising for accessing that younger generation who, as Daisy said, are on their phones and scrolling and reminding them that we're there. You know, we had Harry Styles on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing just to open that world. And everyone, is this Harry? Harry's on the radio? How am I missing it? I didn't know this was happening. You know, there's so
many... What's a radio? How do I listen to it?
You know, in a way, and, you know, that's your opportunity where you get to tell people how brilliant the show are and show them how brilliant the show is.
And we learned in this session that you have a loop pedal, so
yes,
the radio industry people will be like, what the hell? So your mic is wired up to a loop pedal, like people might have seen Ed Sheeran doing his gigs where he loops a bit, plays a bit more. So what are you doing with that and your voice and your mic?
When I started the show, it was really important to help the kind of seamless flow of the show and make it feel like that DJ set has been talking, that my voice was kind of incorporated in the production of the show. And I kind of wanted something that I could control with my feet in order to do that. I had too much going on with my hands already, not quite enough limbs to be able to control anything. So I was like, well, my feet are free, let's use that. And obviously guitarists with their guitars, you reference Ed Sheeran, and every guitarist ever uses a pedal of some kind. And I spoke to Fender and they suggested their kind of recent model of pedal that they had. And I mean, it really is limitless with the effects. If I had all the time in the world, I'd probably have a whole array of stuff set up as it is. I've got one or two, but...
So you're like looping something that you've said and then talking over that or playing beats over that?
Yeah, it's really simple, to be honest with you. It's usually just accentuating the kind of last phrase or syllable of what I'm saying. So, you know, it's Jack Saunders here on BBC Radio 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and I've kind of set the tempo of the loop of the next song I'm playing.
Yeah.
So it loops in time over the next song, and then I've got a pedal that pitch shifts, so it goes down, down, down.
Which always makes me laugh.
Depending which one. Yeah, the kind of high-pitched chipmunk is a little bit comical, so I don't tend to do that one as much. But if we've got like a quite electronic hyper-pop track, then that usually fits quite well. And it also depends, as I'm kind of referring to there, on the style of the song and the music that you're playing. It doesn't work over absolutely everything, so you've got to pick your times.
And while we've got you here, we've got to mention the chart show, because you're the host of the official UK chart. I mean, coming from radio bedroom, as I know you did, starting out taping things like we all did, and student radio and Radio X and Radio 1, now to be hosting the chart show for 4 years. How's that?
Yeah, 4 years. Has it been 4 years?
It will be, I think.
Will it really? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've not been counting, but 4 years is incredible. Who's the longest running chart show
host? It's a bit longer than that.
Is it a bit? Okay, so I've got a bit more to go. I love it, and I think it ties in perfectly with what we do on New Music Show as well, you know, where we get to support those big artists returning and we press play on their new song for the very first time as hottest record, and then, you know, ideally I get to go at its number one on the official chart. That synergy there is just chef's kiss when it comes to what the show and what Radio 1 is about when it comes to supporting new music, you know.
Look who I found. It's Media UK's James Cridland.
Wow.
As a flashback.
Yes, as a flashback.
There's a lot here at Radio Days about AI and technology in content. You've stripped that back a bit and actually saying, no, we need to keep that human connection. What radio is famous for has made us what we are.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting. So I was talking a lot about human connection and the shared experience that radio has. And really, you know, that's one of the reasons why we go back somewhere every single day, why we, you know, enjoy going to certain places, because we feel a sense of belonging there, because we feel that this is a place for us. And radio was really good at doing that. You take a look at what Terry Wogan used to do, for example. So much of his content, you felt as if you were part of a secret club, almost. You know, you had that sort of feeling. And all of the best broadcasters, Danny Baker is another one, Jeff Lloyd on Virgin Radio, all of the best broadcasters are like that. And so really talking very much around, we shouldn't forget what makes radio great, and it's that human connection and that shared experience.
And the surveying kind of backs up that's what listeners want as well, not the music necessarily these days.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of research comes out of the US, and so it may be slightly different here, but a bunch of research really saying that audiences are tuning into radio for the people, not necessarily for the music. And that kind of makes sense, right? Because we've all got our favorite music non-stop commercial-free on our Spotify accounts. Why would we need radio to do that same sort of job with, you know, with occasional ad breaks and, you know, and segues telling us that you're listening to, you know, X name of radio station, when we can get that, you know, better? So it does come down to why people are listening to the radio now, and people are listening to the radio now for the reasons that they've always listened to radio. For the human beings, for that human connection, that shared experience.
And one of the things you talked about as well was the response when a favourite presenter leaves and actually the audience dips around that. You live in Australia at the moment, and there's been a bit of change, shall we say, on some of the biggest shows. So
has there? Yeah.
Apparently you've been talking about that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean that obviously is going to have a huge impact on that company, not only financially in terms of contracts, but the audience that they had built up to some extent.
Yeah, and I suppose the question really is going to be, how many people are going to leave radio altogether? That's the worry in some quarters. How many people are going to leave radio altogether because Carl and Jackie O, who they've been waking up to for the last 20 years, have all of a sudden left the airwaves? And that's, you know, that is interesting. I have had the same feeling, not with Carl and Jackie O, because, you know, there's only so much talk about all kinds of stuff that should be on the radio. But I've had those same feelings when some of the radio presenters who I really like have gone. And so I think, yeah, we just need to be, you know, careful in terms of that. But again, it comes down to the people. And the more that we look at why people are tuning into the radio, it's far less about keeping up to date with the stars or hearing, you know, new songs or everything else. It's all to do with that feeling of, you know, of belonging. Actually, you know, when I was growing up, I listened to Signal Radio in Stoke-on-Trent. Colin Cook was on the evening show.
Mm-hmm.
And on the AM and the FM in the PM. And he ended up doing a thing where all of his audience would all have really silly names. So you'd have a telephone call and, oh, it's Madonna's Handbag who's on the line. Yeah. And, you know, very sort of Smash Hits-esque. And it was just something that you felt part of. Well, and that's what great radio has always done. So, yeah.
Radio Days in Latvia is coming to an end, and I bumped into a fellow Yorkshireman, come all the way to Riga. Simon Majunkas here, president of audio for Bauer's radio stations right across Europe.
You've only been doing this job a couple of months now. How's it going?
2 months, 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, you're enjoying it so far, and this is your first time at Radio Days.
First day at Radio Days. Am I enjoying it? Yeah, I really am. It's a lot of travel, a lot of going to new countries, meeting new people, but that's what's great about it. And I guess that's similar to what's great about Radio Days Europe as well. And I think particularly for us at Bauer, we get lots of insight from working across 9 different unique markets. I think it's fantastic to see things, see our people coming here and learning new things outside of what we're doing within our own business. So that's really interesting.
And so for our viewers in the UK who perhaps don't understand the European radio market, what does Bauer own in Europe? You know, give us a quick snapshot.
So we're in 9 markets.
Yep.
So we're in the UK, Ireland. This is going to test me now. UK, Ireland. We're in Poland, Slovakia, Portugal, and then we're in 4 Nordic countries. So Finland, Norway, Sweden and Denmark.
And those markets are all quite different to the UK.
Yeah, they are really different. I mean, even if you just start with the population sizes, you know, Ireland, which is a market that I know really well, so I joined Bauer by...
You were at Communicore, weren't you?
CEO of Communicore, which was acquired by Bauer in 2021. Population of 5 million. It's a similar size to the population in Finland, for example. Portugal's twice the size of that. So you've got population sizes, which is different. You've got regulation, which is different in each market. And then you've got ownership and market dynamics, which are always really different. So I think we were speaking about this earlier on. It's quite fragmented in some of those countries, which is really different to the UK, where there's been lots of consolidation. And there's, you know, a couple of groups dominate really what...
Do you think there's a place for consolidation in some of those European markets like we've seen in the UK? Because Bauer's quite a dominant player across Europe in terms of what you own as a, you know, in terms of the market share. I think it's about 10-15% of the market, so there's scope to grow.
I think we're really open about the fact that we are always aspiring to be the number one in the market or the number two in the market, right? So if there is a route to get that which satisfies competition law, then absolutely it's something that's an ambition of ours. But like everything with acquisition, it's regulation first and then price comes second for that.
And we've seen a lot of change in the UK market in terms of that consolidation over the last 5-10 years or so. Is that it now, do you think? You know, we've got the new Media Act in place and that's starting to see some regulatory change as a result of that. How stable do you see the UK radio industry?
I think the way that it's made up at the moment, I think, it's in a really stable place. It was something that I spoke about earlier on, that we're in a period of strength or entering 2026. I think when you look further forward, that's where you start to see, somebody referred to it as icebergs in the water, and that's not something new. It's not, you know, it's constantly issues and challenges that are kind of facing every industry. But, you know, I grew up in regional radio, so... I recognise the change that's happened in radio and what that looks like. There's nobody more than me that would like the fact that that wasn't a necessity based on market dynamics and, you know, disintermediation by tech companies from both from an advertising and a content perspective. So, you know, I guess with everything that's going on in the world, I'm just hoping for a little bit of normality and consistency, but you never know, I guess, is the answer to that.
And there's been a lot of talk about AI at this conference this year, as there probably was last year and maybe the year before as it was starting to come through. How much AI is Bauer across your audio operations embracing and using, either off-air or on-air? What are you doing with AI?
Yeah, there's lots of things. The way that we're set up, because we work across 9 different markets, we have joint capability teams in different areas of... that kind of answer unified challenges and opportunities that we have. We've got an AI JCT, which helps support each of our markets. 2 things on that. The big thing that Bauer believes in is human connection, and that's really going to be a really important role for our, particularly in our content for the foreseeable future. But we also recognise that new technologies is something that we should be taking advantage of. So there's lots of interpretations of that and applications. We've started giving more dynamic, not personalised, but more dynamic weather inserts in Finland. I spoke about this earlier on, which has built out new advertising propositions. Some of our partners in the UK, Imrix, are using AI-generated voices for more efficient and better travel applications. So and then there's a myriad of ways that we're using it behind the scenes to help our salespeople, actually. The amount of research and preparation that can be done utilizing AI tools and platforms that are all within Bauer GPT, so our own our own platform just means that if I go back to 20 years ago when I was a sales exec, I could only dream of having some of the tools and technology at my fingertips.
Yeah. And you've got so many brands, without asking you to pick a favourite child, you know, if you've not got meetings all day, which of your Bauer brands, if you're in the UK, would you spend your time listening to either in the kitchen at home in the morning or in the car driving in, you know?
I've said this before, right? Because it's all about music genres, right? And what your tastes are. So yeah. Absolute would be something that... that has always been pretty close to my heart because of the music that it plays, but also that kind of irreverent approach to life. But all the brands are absolutely fantastic at what they do.
It's just my personal choice
of that music style.
Thank you so much for talking to us here at Radio Days Europe, and enjoy the rest of your time here.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Simon.
Take care.
Thanks.
And that was Simon from Bauer. I can't believe he's from Bradford. I mean, the surname doesn't suggest he's a Bradford native.
Eccles Hill,
yes. That was good. All good stuff. We've had a good time at Radio Days 2026 in Riga, Latvia. Best bit, Stuart?
Oh, the food.
The drink.
No, there's been some really good sessions as well. I've really enjoyed chatting to some of the people. You've just heard them on the podcast. You might have seen some of them in Vision as well. But I really enjoyed Matt Wilkinson from Heart, actually, on Sunday, talking about how he crafts his segues and crafting his links and those kind of things. So if you enjoyed listening to that, look up more of Matt's work, because he is great. He's on his Instagram and TikTok doing those videos pretty much every week.
I can't believe he spends so long on 2 seconds of audio. I mean, the attention to detail there, as he was saying, is just amazing. So full respect to him for that.
Yeah, and check out the Radio Today Instagram and Facebook. You can see all those interviews in Vision with the people, and all of our other pictures and stories from through the week, including the big reveal of where we are heading in 2027 for Radio Days Europe. It's going to be warmer.
I'm just glad it's going to be warmer than this place. I'm just freezing. So is this it then? Are we back? Are we doing this? This is episode one, the end of. Are we going to do
one? There's a huge back catalogue.
Well, version two. So this is 2.1. Are we up for this? This is not just some adrenaline rush that's going to regret.
There's a few people seem to think it's a good idea, but we'd love to hear from people. You can email us. How do we get people to email us?
Let's do podcast@radiotoday.co.uk.
Okay, drop us an email, podcast@radiotoday.co.uk. If you think we should bring it back, what you used to like about the old podcast, what you want to hear more of, if you've got any guest suggestions, if you are a producer yourself and you want to come on and talk to us, if you're a presenter, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you, because that saves us doing the work of going out and finding people to have on all the time. So if you come to us, that's even better.
And what do the cool kids say these days? Listen, like, share, subscribe, hit that button, or whatever they say.
Yeah, we're not going to do any of that nonsense.
No, it's bollocks. Okay, cool. Onwards, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. It's the Radio Today program.